Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and once again, we are at it, talking about getting financially independent and getting control of your finances and making it happen. And the last couple of weeks, if you've been tuning in, we talked about really kind of the A to Z, the defense to begin with, which, you know, I always try to relate, you know, finances to things that, you know, people understand. You know, I mean, it's not, let's don't complicate something, you know, let's try to get it understandable. And, you know, I talk about the defense, and the defense is, you know, we know what that means. If you have a good defense and you're playing sports, you don't let the other team score, so you're never going to lose. You know, you're not going to necessarily win, but you just don't lose. And the whole idea of the defense is to avoid mistakes and, you know, protect your, you know, things that really matter, the foundation, which is your income and your assets, all right, as you accumulate stuff. And that has a lot to do with insurance and budgets and staying out of debt, not making mistakes. And then we went last week at the beginning, went through the offense, and the offense is about growing and, you know, getting your, you know, taking advantage of the different things like, you know, retirement plans and things of that nature. And today what we're going to do is really get deeper into, you know, building wealth. And that would be more about investments and about taxes and things like that. And so if you're listening in right now, you know, we've got a lot of resources. If you go to RoyMatlockJr.com, go to the resource tab, and one of the best pieces I've got what I call my best retirement workbook. It's 12 pages you can download. If you go there, you'll find a lot of things like budget sheets. You can get, you know, access to instant life insurance. Believe it or not, up to $2 million of coverage you can get issued. If you have kids and, you know, liabilities and stuff like that, you can get this issued in about 15 minutes. It also includes a will and a trust. So we've got all these different things, you know, open investment accounts for as little as $50 a month or $250, all this kind of thing. So go there. But today we're going to get into the investment side. And so let's start with the mindset of, you know, diversification. And diversification is, you know, you've heard don't put all your eggs in one basket. And the idea with investments is you always are happy about something. And if you look at asset classes over time, every asset class is not the best asset class any given year. You know, sometimes just having money in the bank, a money market account, is the best asset class. We saw that when rates went up, bonds went down, people lost money in bonds, they lost money in the stock market several years ago. But then there's other years that, you know, maybe a bond is the best thing, or maybe a money market, or maybe the stock market, or maybe an annuity, you know, could fall in there. So when we diversify our money into buckets. Typically, based on our time horizon, we're going to be more aggressive or more conservative. You know, if you're young, getting started, chances are I would be putting you into the market. You know, very little outside of the market would be there. And there might be a little bit inside of those funds where they've got some cash, but pretty much we're going to get it working that way and put it into stock funds. An example then would be we dollar cost average. That means we put it in monthly. And when the market goes down, we're happy because we're buying at a discount. And so we're just buying consistently, and we do that. When we get to retirement, though, and we're starting to pull money, market downturns are bad because you're living on that money. And so that's when we have different buckets. We may have a bond or a money market or even an annuity to offset the years and pull from those places when your stock market account is down. Now, when the market's up, then we may pull from that. So we have different type of diversification buckets. So you got money markets, which would be almost like a bank account. You know, if you get in a money market right now at say one of the, you know, big brokers or Fidelity or any of those kind of places, you get about 3% and you have full access to it. And so I like money market funds for emergency funds. I also like them to use for, you know, being able to, you know, raise your deductibles on your insurances and things like that because you have the cash set aside. Bond funds. Bonds are debt securities. It's where companies or municipalities or governments borrow money from the public. And the bond market, tends to be you're going to get a better rate of return, generally speaking, than you will if you're in just a pure bank account. But everything has risk. So a bank account's FDIC insured. A bond fund is not. Bonds, though, have more security than stock. So if a company goes under and they have a bond, they get first priority over the stockholders. And so that's how that works. Then we go to stock, which is ownership, the best way to understand, you know, stocks. If we go to the bank, we loan the bank money at, you know, a couple percent, maybe 2%, or even in some of the savings accounts don't even pay that. And so the bank borrows that money. We don't think of it that way. They, you know, sell it. You know, it's, you've got a certificate of deposit, or you've got a max savings account, whatever it is. But the bottom line is you're taking money, going to the bank, you hand it to them, you loan it to them, they borrow it at maybe 1 or 2%, and then they turn around and loan it back, maybe even to you on a credit card right now between 20 and 27%. So if you think through that, you say, well, I mean, who makes the most money, the bank at 1 or 2% giving me it as a depositor, or the bank making the spread between 1 or 2% and 20%, or they loan it to you on a house at 6%, make you buy insurance, okay, if you don't have plenty of equity so they could take your home in the event you don't pay. And so they make that. So that's a pretty good spread. So why wouldn't we own the bank? That's the question. And so that's what I like. I would rather be the bank than be the person that is getting 2%. And how do you do that? We own stock in it. And then, so we go into stock funds. And the reason we go into funds is because we can diversify. And then what funds do is they go out and research to get the best banks and the best, you know, different companies in their industries. And eventually you have this diversification within, say, a stock fund. And you may have one fund that has, you know, 200 different companies that have been researched in it. And then you have another fund that might just only be in small companies, or another one in medium size or large companies, or ones that pay dividends, and ones that are might be an international fund that's outside of the United States. And then you've got some that are global that'll invest across the U.S. and abroad. And then you've got U.S. funds. You got all these different funds. But the whole idea is within that, what we're doing, and along with the bonds, we're diversifying all the different asset classes, and that's how we get there. So anyway, if you're tuning in right now, my name is Roy Matlock Jr. We are a fiduciary company. If you would like to reach out to get a quick appointment, go to roymatlockjr.com, and you can schedule there.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit roymatlockjr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we are talking money, and we're continuing down the path, if you're just tuning in, talking about diversification, how funds work, things like that. We talked about money markets, bond funds, stock funds. Now, another product for if you're at or near retirement would be an annuity. An annuity is an insurance product that generally is bought for income, and it solves the problem of outliving your money. So if you live a long life, that's great. You just don't want to have your money run out. And so most of the time people buy annuities with that in mind. They also have some long-term care benefits. But the main thing about an annuity, when you buy an annuity, depending on the type of annuity, you can buy lifetime income guarantees and tax deferral. All right. Can insurance companies go under? Yes, they can go under. Thus, annuities have to pay a bigger rate than, say, a bank or something like that. But if you go out and you get with someone like what we do, we have an insurance marketplace where we, you know, shop the best annuities. But also we make sure that one of the things that we get the stronger insurance companies based on their ratings and stuff like that. So now what we've got, so we have four areas that you diversify when it comes to what I call passive investing. Passive investing, money market, bond funds, stock funds, and annuities. If you are listening now, also have been doing some work with Tanya Esquivel. And Tanya and I have a show called you know, Real Money Radio, and that's gets more into the real estate side. Real estate, owning rental properties, is another area of diversification. The difference with most people that have rental properties, I call that a rental business, and so that means that, you know, you're putting your time into it. We're going to talk mostly in this show about passive type things. Now, when I look at the different places and what we use, there's about 8 different places that you might put money aside for different purposes. And we also have tax buckets. In those tax buckets, there's about 3 tax buckets that happen. We'll talk about that. So what are some of the 8 different ones? Well, the first one is you put money aside in a money market, typically, for an emergency fund. An emergency fund is what it is. You know, life happens. You lose a job. You have a health scare or something like that. And you're in a situation where you need to have 3 to 6 months of liquid cash that you can get to. That's a money market fund. We have retirement funds. We're going to get into all the different types of retirement funds. You have IRAs, but you also have retirement plans through your work, 401k, 403b. We have college funds. College funds could be educational savings accounts, 529 accounts. You might go in and do what's called an UTMA, which would be a minor account, uniform gift or a uniform transfer, UTMA or UGMA account, and it gets favorable tax treatment. And that's something that you might do back in the days. That's what I did when I had my kids when they were young, because we didn't have the 529s and stuff like that. I have another one called opportunity funds. What is an opportunity fund? It's a fund that you set aside money. Typically, we put it into things that maybe a 60-40 stock bond fund, so it's not real volatile, but the idea is that, you know, it's there. And what can you do with it? Well, you can borrow against it through a margin account. So typically, if you have $100,000, you can borrow on it up to about $50,000, or you could take that money and use it for an opportunity that came along. So let's say that you have a situation where an opportunity came along. I have one of my clients, I ran into him last night, and we had an opportunity fund, and he was able to take that and buy a partner out. And the rate of return that he was able to get as a result of buying that partner out was much better than 12%. And so he was able to buy an income stream, and he took that money and did that. So you may have opportunities to invest in different types of things. Maybe you buy a business. Maybe you do whatever it may be, some real estate. But that's money that you're not currently needing, but it's sitting there, and it is available to either borrow against, but it is taxable. All right. Then you have non-retirement accounts that are tax deferred. That's where your annuities come in. You can buy a variable annuity that's fully in the stock market, all the ups and all the downs. You can buy what's called a RILA. A RILA is an annuity that has some floors on the law. Some of the loss, it protects you against some loss, and you have limited upside. You have what is called fixed indexed annuities. Fixed indexed annuity a lot of times is used as a tool to create an income stream. But all of these are what I call non-retirement. They're retirement. They're treated in the 59.5 mode. You penalized annuities if you come out, but they're not really, quote, retirement accounts. What they are, they're investment accounts that get tax-deferred growth. You've got funds that you could turn into income. That might be a life insurance policy. You can borrow against those kind of things. We've got funds set aside for health care, you know, long-term care. You can buy things that have riders to it. And then the last one might be a group of ETFs, exchange-traded funds, get better tax treatment. And you set it aside with the idea that it's an inheritance fund. Now, why does that matter? Because there's something that's been going on for 100 years called a step-up. So if you bought a growth ETF that has very few dividends tied to it, there'd be a little bit of taxation on the dividends on an annual basis. But on the growth, if you don't sell that, these ETFs, and they went from, you put in $10,000 and it grew to $100,000, upon death, it's a step up, and your inheritance would be at $100,000. They wouldn't have to pay the taxes. So in essence, you could put money aside. And I recommend this kind of stuff for people that have money that they really, you know, don't need. It's another way to pass on tax-free money, almost tax-free money, to your next generation. And so that's 8 areas that you can do. You've got 3 tax areas. One of them is taxable. as ordinary income. Then you've got taxable as capital gains, dividends, stuff like that. Then you've got taxed, that tax deferred. That means that you maybe get a deduction now, and then you have to pay it later. And then you got tax-free. That might be like a Roth IRA that you pay after tax dollars in, or a life insurance policy that has cash value you can borrow on and things of that nature. So now what we've got is we've got diversification, and then we got different accounts that we go in and we start working on. Now, when you start looking at this and you say eight different accounts, you know, obviously we want to have an order. You know, we want to get our emergency fund done. We get our retirement plans done. And then we start adding things, all right? As we gain more wealth, we start doing more things. And eventually, you've got all these different places that could create income. It could pay for different things. You're targeting college funds. You're targeting inheritance. You're targeting long-term care funds. You've got funds that you set aside to give you a lifetime income. You've got funds that are set aside for, you know, to keep up with inflation. You got all these different things. But at the end of the day, that's what we do, and we do this. And so think in terms of when we're out there building our financial plan, we just put the – it's like building blocks. And what we try to do with people is we start with the basics of building blocks, and that's going to be getting your, you know, insurance in place. If you have liabilities, meaning kids, debts, you know, mortgages – you know, things like that, that you would need pay, that would, they would need income for should something happen. Anybody's dependent on you. You buy term life insurance, and you buy it with the mindset that you're going to buy it with the goal of getting self-insured. And then I always tell people the easy start is we buy term and we put the difference into an investment, typically a mutual fund, and we buy a Roth IRA. How about that? That's easy. All right. Anybody can do that. It takes, generally, if we meet with someone in about 20 or 30 minutes, you could have it set up. You've got your life insurance of something if you die, and you've got a plan automatically drafted out of your checking account to get you on track. And then it's just really a matter of saying, you know, what is $100 a month going to grow to over this many years at this rate of return? If I put 200, that's twice, 300, 400, 500, whatever I put in there. And you can project out automatically. I call it automating financial independence. You know, one of the things I've always believed is this, that you got to set it and forget it. And there's always a bad time to invest. Everybody thinks that, but really if you invest, it's always a good time. Time in the market has always been the best thing for you. Okay, so we're going to continue on the offense. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. Visit roymatlockjr.com to schedule a free consultation. We will be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit roymatlockjr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, we are continuing on the offense, and now we're going to get into a little bit more detail on the different types of investments when it comes to stock funds, bond funds, all that kind of stuff. So first off, stock funds are growth oriented. Typically, you're buying into a group or a bucket or basket of companies, depending on what their goals are. You can buy, you know, what we call small caps. And a small cap is like your newer companies. They're the Googles of tomorrow. They tend to be more volatile. But then at the same time, you have big opportunities, bigger risk, more volatility, things like that. Then from there, we buy mid caps. That might be companies that, you know, are still growing, but they don't pay dividends typically. And the idea behind that is that they're putting money back into the company with the idea that the stock price will grow. And then we have companies that are large cap, many of which pay dividends. That's where they're very broad and the dividend yield becomes something you use for retirement. And so I have people that retire and we put them into stock and bond funds, but we tend to put them into funds that have in the stock portfolio dividends. All right. And so every quarter they pay dividends, and there's companies out there that you've heard of, an Exxon and things like that, that pay a dividend yield. Plus, it still has the gain, hopefully over a long period of time, to help you keep up with inflation. Now, why do stocks tend to keep up with inflation versus saying something like a bond or a money market? The reason is that if you witness inflation when you walk in to do business somewhere. So let's think about witnessing inflation. You go into McDonald's and you're like, they're charging more for the Big Mac and Big Mac and fries. Well, if you own stock in McDonald's, that's cool. If you don't own it, it's not cool. All right, because you're not getting a piece of it. It's like if you go into Starbucks and you put your money into, you take the money you would have put into the cup of coffee and stuck it into the stock, Starbucks stock, you're gaining as inflation goes up the stock market. They price it in order to try to maintain their margins. So the idea behind buying a stock fund is to help you offset inflation. And so if you are in a situation where you're retiring and you start out and you have a Social Security income, and then maybe you have something else, maybe you have a pension, you need something to be able to offset inflation risk, that things become more expensive. Your income is the same, but your ability to purchase goods and services are not. So we always tell people you should always have a piece of your money in that. Now, for retirees, you don't have all your money in that, because we have something called sequence of return risk. What that means is that as you are accumulating money and the market goes down and you're buying, that's a good thing. You're buying at a discount. But if you're retiring and you're only pulling from the stock market and the market's down, you're having to sell more shares at a lower price to be able to get your same income. So what we do is we try to offset that with other things like annuities and bonds and things of that nature. So therefore, when the market is down, we would pull from other things to create our income. And when the market is up, we may sell off the top. And that's why we have buckets of risk and so on. We buy bonds. The idea behind bonds, they pay interest. You get more predictable income from it at a lower rate, less volatile. It's more for capital preservation. What that means is that if the stock market's down and you have a portion of your money in the bond markets, typically they don't operate the same, and it gives you a place to go pull money from when the market's down. So then that way you're never, if you're never selling on the down, that's a positive. So the mindset behind a stock and bond is that we have something when the market's up, we're excited. All right, and if we need money, we sell at the market up. And if the bond, if the market's down, we have something else that is getting us some interest and maybe some stability, and we live on that until the market recovers. And so that's how we use it for diversification. It's going to be lower long-term returns. You have inflation risk, all right, because of, you know, as inflation goes up, that doesn't mean your bond interest rate goes up. You have interest rate risk on bonds if rates go up. A number of years ago, when rates were really low, when you're buying houses at 3%, you know, bonds to me were very scary, because if rates went up, bonds go down. Well, now bonds are at a different place. You're getting a reasonable return on it. And if rates go down, which, you know, we hear may happen, you would get a little appreciation on that. So, you know, there's a lot of different things with bonds, you know, from high-risk bonds, they call them junk bonds, but they're really not. They're just companies that, you know, it's not like companies that are going to go under, but they carry more risk than what we call A-rated bonds. And so we go in and we diversify bonds. When you buy a bond fund, you can buy, you know, government bonds, you can buy municipal bonds, you can buy short-term, long-term bonds, you can buy, you know, A-rated, you know, what we call investment-grade bonds, or you can buy stuff that's called high yield. So you get a better, bigger return, but you have more risk on it. So the whole idea behind this is we're diversifying. And so when we meet with people, we go in, and depending on their age and where they're at, we're going to put them in things that make sense. All right, we go out to the product marketplace and we say, these people probably could use a lifetime income guarantee to go along with their Social Security. This person is young and they should be in growth funds. So that's what we do. If you go to annuities, a lot of people call annuities kind of like a bond alternative. You can get lifetime income guarantees. If you buy a fixed or fixed indexed annuity, you have guaranteed principal. A fixed annuity will pay you an interest rate and it has guaranteed principal. A fixed indexed annuity has a floor, meaning zero. If the market's down, it's tied to the stock market, maybe a S&P 500, and you'll get a piece of the upside, but none of the downside, and it's tax deferred. So people buy annuities mostly in my world. I use annuities as a way to get, you know, big lifetime income. So for instance, around 70, and you know, don't hold me to this, but it's pretty close. You could get like 8% for life. So if you went in and put 100 grand in, you get 8%, that's 8,000 a year guaranteed for the rest of your life. And I always tell people, when you buy a lifetime income guarantee on an annuity, make the mindset that you hope there's nothing left because you lived long and you outlived your money. But when you do that, you will still get paid as long as you live. So that's what annuities do. The cons with annuities, they're typically have surrender charges. If you want out early, so when you go into an annuity, you want to go in there with the idea that, you know, this is a long-term investment. And so that's kind of the way we go there. Then we go into retirement plans, 401k. You can do traditional. A lot of them have what's called Roth options on the 401k. We have IRAs, which are traditional. We also have a Roth. I'm going to talk about a backdoor IRA as well. If you are a business owner, we have SEPs and we have solo 401ks. All of these things are designed to give you tax beneficial treatment. And in many cases, if you work for a company, you will get matching funds. And the crazy part is I meet people all the time and I say, hey, is your 401k matching? And they say, yes. And I say, what do they match? I don't know. Well, that tells me they're probably not even taking advantage of it. And so in most cases, if you have a 401k, you may put in 3% and they match it. Hey, that's cool. Put in $3, they give you $6 right off the bat. Plus you get a tax deduction potentially or a tax deferral. Plus you get a return on the investment as it goes up. I mean, why wouldn't you do that? All right, yet we have people that don't do it. And so what we'll do when we come back from the break, I'm going to get into all of the different retirement plans, the 401ks, the Roths, all that kind of stuff. If you're tuning in now, I would encourage you to go to any of your podcasts, look up the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour. Listen to me while you're driving and learn about money and visit RoyMatlockJr.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we are talking money, and this last segment is going to be about all of the different retirement plans that you can get involved in. And so into the key to all of everything is about, you know, procrastination. I mean, when you get right down to it, the biggest mistake anybody makes when it comes to their money is they just never get started. And what a lot of times, I don't know if it's very clear, but let me give you an example. So let's say that you accumulate $200,000 and then you start withdrawing that money. If you let that money sit for another 7 years, which is on the back end, that may have taken you 25 years to get your $200,000 or 20 or 10 years, whatever. But if you let it compound on the end one more time, then that means rather than 200, you have 400. So it's called doubling periods. Now, how does this affect people? Well, here's what happens. I remember one of my buddies, he's retired, And the reason he's retired is because when he was like 20 years old, he started putting money into Fidelity Magellan Fund. And back then, that Fidelity Magellan Fund, Peter Lynch, he's known as the greatest fund manager that's ever been. He averaged about 20% for, 12, 13 years. And so your money was doubling about every 3 years. And it really built what is the Fidelity Funds, which we do our clearing through. But the point is that he got started young. And by the time he was 30, he had accumulated a lot of money. And I always tell people today, if you can just, you know, if you're 30 years old, if you can get $100,000 set aside by the time you're 30, you have pretty well put yourself in a position that you don't have to worry about retirement ever again. You've already done it. And then when you start saving more money, all right, you are just shortening the time that you're going to have before you're going to be able to quit. All right. So if you put that 100, so always do that. So how do you get $100,000? Well, rule of thumb is that you need to put aside $50,000 over 10 years, divide that out about 400 a month, rule of thumb, whatever you put in monthly over a 10-year period should double should you put it into typical growth investments. So if you put in $400 a month, that's $4,800. You put it by 10 years, that's $48,000. You should be at about $96,000. That's kind of a, you know, close rule of thumb. It's not always exact based on the returns, but if you're doing that, that's a good rule of thumb. And so how do you get $100,000? $500 a month for, you know, 10 years and you're rocking. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at 401ks, what you should do. Should you put your money in a 401k and do a deductible, or should you take the Roth option? Typically, and this is not always, but the way I look at it in most cases, the younger you are, you might do the Roth option. All right. And the reason behind that is that if you start young, it's very possible that if you're saving money over 35, 40 years, that your income could go up when you retire, because you've accumulated a lot of money. I have a lot of my clients today that last year they made more money on their investment account than they did on their income, all right? And so that would be a reason. If you're behind a little bit and you're a higher income earner, what you want to do is you might want to look at the traditional and take the tax deduction. If you are doing well and you're out there, you know, saving, you know, and making, and your income is up, here's what you might consider. All right, you might consider doing the IRA or do the 401k, and then do take the tax savings that you get. I call it buy one get one free, and then you can put that money into a Roth, or maybe what we call a Roth backdoor Roth IRA, which I'll go in there. So let's talk about 2026 401ks. You can put 24.5 in if you're under age 50, up $1,000 from the previous year. You can also, if you can do what's called a catch up, take it into $32,500, and you could potentially put that in and deduct it, or put it in your Roth and it grows tax free. So the idea behind a Roth is tax free after tax. A traditional is tax deductible, and then you put, and it grows tax deferred, but you get a deduction up front. So let's say you put the 32.5 in and you're in the 25% tax bracket, you're going to save about 8,000, about 25%, 30%. You're going to save about $8,000, which could go into a IRA. You can put 8,600 if you're over 50 this year. And so that's up as well. So Roths or IRAs went from $7,000 to $7,500, and the catch up, you can go as much as $8,600 this year. So I have clients that they fully fund their 401k. Their income, because of their income, they make too much money to do a Roth. So we do what's called a traditional non-deductible backdoor Roth IRA. So the way that works is we set up the IRA. It's non-deductible, and you can put that in. So you can put the $8,600 in. Then we convert it immediately to a Roth, and now you just put aside $8,600 into, or $7,500 if you're under age 50, and you did your 401k. That's pretty cool. Now you're putting aside tax-free money. So I always ask people this question. Do you have any money set aside that you don't need? So let's get it into things that get better tax treatment and better growth. And so one of the things that you can do is you can do that, backdoor Roth. Now, if your income is under 220 married in that range, you're eligible for the Roth either way, or you could just do a traditional IRA, depending if you're not covered by a retirement plan. That's where you get the tax deduction, tax deferral, and stuff like that. And so what I always tell people is, for sure, take advantage of your match. We can help you decide whether a Roth makes more sense. Like my daughter, both my daughters are young and they have retirement plans through their work. And so I'm telling them, do the Roth. You know, they get started young and they're going to be in a great position. So if you think like that, now if you're self-employed, keep in mind, nobody's going to help you. All right, you either save yourself, you're like me, or you're not going to have anything. So you can do what's called a SEP or a 401k for business owners, solo business owners. And so when you do that, you can get put basically a SEP. If you don't have any employees, you can put up to 25% of your profit. Right now the limits are about $70,000. So if you made $280,000, you could put about $70,000 and deduct it off your income. It's great for if you're an independent contractor, if you're a realtor, anything like that, that where you're commission only, 1099, you should look at that or a solo 401k. Solo 401k gives you a little bit larger based on lower incomes. You can put more money in and so on. Then we go in and we say, well, how do I, manage the retirement plans through my work if I don't have an advisor? All right. And, we help our clients. One of the things that we do, we provide financial advice. That is what a fiduciary is. Typically, the way accounts are charged is based on the size of the account. So you may pay 1.25%, something like that. If you're larger accounts, you may pay less. But at the end of the day, you're buying advice. And so I help my people that are clients of ours and our reps do this on what to choose. Typically, though, if you want to know, you choose something called a target date. And these target dates, if you don't have anyone looking at it, target date is an account that you take your birth year. So if you take me, I was born in 1961. I would take 1961 plus 65, and that would be 2026. I would look and I would find a retirement target date. It might be a 2025 target date. Typically, they're 2025, 2030, and so on. Now, if I were born in 1980, I had 65, that would be a 2045. Now, why do you do that? Or if you're very young, you might have a 2070 target date. So what happens is the longer time till you retire, these funds are set up to where what will happen is they'll be more aggressive in the accumulation stage. But then when you get to, say, 60 years old and you're 5 years away from retiring or whatever, they've backed it down. So therefore, you don't have bad stock market returns fully invested. And we run into, say, a 2007 to 2012, right about the time you're retiring. So when we meet with people, the first thing we do is we look at, the money you've accumulated. Is that going to be the most important thing for your retirement, or is it the money you're saving? Typically, what we'll do is we'll back off the big lump sums if they're near retirement, and then on the monthly investments, we'll be aggressive to be able to take advantage of the volatility. And if you're putting that money into a target date, you might have a 2030 target date on your big lump sum, and you might have a 2060 target date on your actual monthly contributions that go in there. And so all of this goes into planning and building a plan that is diversified based on your age, your time horizon, everything like that. What we want to do is we want to make sure that when we're doing things that we have a plan. The plan always goes back to, the GPS. What is the GPS, the goal, the plan, the schedule? It's like you get in your car, you say, where you want to go? You put it in. I drove way out to South Hall last night, and when I did that, I just started, and it put the address in. I didn't know exactly how to get there. And it says, here's where you go. And it's 56 minutes later, you're going to get there. Well, your retirement plan should be something very similar. You know, what's the goal? Well, I want to retire in 20 years. Let's take a look. 20 years is our goal. And our schedule is, our goal is to be able to have $100,000 a year. That's our goal. 20 years from now, we want to be there. That's the schedule. What's the plan? Well, we need to set aside, you know, we've got this much set aside, and we expect to get 9% on the money we have, and we're short $462 a month. There you go. So now we have a plan of action. So if you would like help, I would encourage you to pick the phone up and call us. Here's what we'll do. We'll do a phone call with you to begin with. It's real simple. You tell us what your goal is, and we'll give you some answers and advice, and if it makes sense and you would like to go further with us, then we'll probably meet with you one-on-one or through Zoom and help you get a plan in place. You can schedule that by calling 615-843-2999, 615-843-2999, a little 15-minute call, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.